Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're speaking with Lisa Jackson about taking micro steps to big goals. You ever taken any micro steps, Ben? I'm not talking about wandering around as a penguin either.
No, Ben can't take a micro step because he's got 12 feet. That's not a micro step.
He's got 12 feet?
Size 12 feet. You can't take a micro step with size 12 feet.
It's true.
You just can't.
Both these facts are true. I cannot take small micro steps, and I have never taken a micro step. But it's an interesting, well, Lisa will explain more, but I do think that there's a lot of precedence put on like getting to a goal very, very quickly.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially within running. And I mean, I would, you know, the bloody running media giving us all these, you know, 12-week plans to follow.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a very interesting chat.
I think that's really true, mate. You often see like, you know, some people's first race is a marathon, isn't it? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but actually, yeah, there's a kind of skipping of certain, maybe, you know, important steps on the way. Like, actually, how about
6 years of injury?
Yeah, let's get good at 5K, let's get good at 10K, whatever that means, and then you know, progress to the marathon. But I think that, yeah, runners probably aren't the most patient of people when it comes to goal setting.
No, for sure,
I think.
For sure. Yeah. Rick, I think. We need to talk about your running.
Well, lack of running.
No, well, because you've joined the bad knee gang. Because everyone knows that running's bad for your knees. So,
I think I've got quite a serious knee injury. But I'm not going to blame running at all, because it actually happened about 8 years ago when I was playing football.
Ah, bloody football!
Yeah, it was. It's a classic footballing injury, and it's like a tackle that went in, and it was like inside of the knee. Had to go off, and I thought that I wasn't going to be able to run at that point for like about 6 months, but it turned out I could run quite quickly again, and I thought it was fine, but total dad injury. Was bending down to plug in the monitor to watch my son asleep, and it just went again, and I don't know, I may need surgery actually, but I'm kind of I feel like this time I want to get it sorted properly, so if it takes a few months then it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's smart, very much. I mean, with both of my knee stuff, I sort of negotiated around surgery, but it was a good 18 months, possibly, where running had to be on hold in some capacity. So, I mean, I don't think yours will be that long, but it's worth taking the process serious.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Hey, you were talking about ice cream before we came on air.
One of my favourite topics.
Because it's got warm, hasn't it? I don't know if you noticed, it's got very warm.
It's because I mentioned ice cream because I've been running, and I went running I finished my run about an hour ago, and I'm still sweating. So I think I've earned a Magnum, which is currently in the freezer. But it is very, very hot, and I really enjoy it. I like running in the heat. I don't know what
really?
Everyone else... Yeah, I do. I really like it. I don't know what everyone else thinks, but I don't feel that hot when I'm doing it.
Right,
which is maybe the reason why I quite like it. But yeah, I will happily go out in the midday sun like a mad dog.
What about you, Jane? Do you run in the heat or not?
Still laughing at mad dog.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, Ben's new nickname on the podcast, mad dog. So I don't mind it actually. I did yesterday opt to run on the treadmill instead of going out because, unlike the mad dog, I don't want to run in the midday. In the like,
I've got to update so many bios now.
peak heat. So I turned 29 this weekend. So I was horribly hungover, and I thought heat and hangover, that's throwing up in Surrey, isn't it? So I thought...
You're not allowed to do that in Surrey.
You're not allowed, no, frowned upon. No. So I thought I'll go to the treadmill. I'll go to the gym and I'll run on the treadmill in all that aircon, and I felt fine. So I think without a hangover, yeah, I would have gone on... I would have gone for it, but with a hangover, no.
All right, another topic.
I hate it, just for what it's worth. I hate running. Really? I'd much rather run in the cold. Yeah, it's a perfect cold weather activity because you warm up so quickly and feel kind of like brave and like, you know, bold out there in the cold. Whereas in the heat, I just feel like knackered and I'm just worse. And
I still get that. I still get the brave and bold sensations in the heat.
Are you doing shirtless running again?
No. I think those years have those years have passed now, Rick, I'm afraid.
I agree. I think that there's certain things that you've got to grow out of, like happy slapping and shirtless running.
I'll leave that to the younger, fitter generations, I think, is probably not to, you know, I don't want to stop or question anyone who feels that they can run around without their clothes on. If that's your vibe, go for it. But personally,
we're in clothing.
Don't think I look good enough. Like that's, I mean, I honestly, like, that's my own hang up. So that's why it doesn't happen.
Stopping some people.
Well, and congrats to them for having such body positivity and confidence. That's all, you know, I wish I had it, but I don't. So I just wore a vest and short shorts. It's not exactly like I was covered up.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, you're not exactly like, yeah.
I wasn't, yeah. So, I mean, there was still quite a lot on show. So it wasn't like the prudish man runs around. But yeah, anyway.
See-through vest and short shorts.
Yeah, exactly. It's my, I soaked myself in a hose in my white outfit and then I went for a run. Yeah.
Well, I think we should probably now get our guest of the week on.
Let's do it. Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete.
Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown. So our guest this week is author and RW columnist Lisa Jackson. Lisa writes the Flamingo Diary column each month in which she celebrates running at a slower pace. And her latest entry discusses taking micro steps towards lofty goals. And she's here today to expand on this idea. So Lisa, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Great to be back. Thanks, Rick.
Can you first sort of start off by telling us, what do you mean by micro steps?
Well, it's the tiniest steps possible. And in fact, I've just finished reading an amazing book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And actually, he talks about making things, taking them so small that you go down to an atomic level.
Right.
So his concept is the 2-minute rule, that when you start a new habit, it has to take less than 2 minutes to do. And I just love that idea of just taking big, you know, either inspiring or really most of the time daunting or overwhelming tasks or goals and break them down into the tiniest, tiniest steps possible and sort of starting from there. So my countryman, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, he said, you can eat an elephant, but only one bite at a time. So it's the bite size approach to goals that I'm quite excited about because I know it's worked for me in the past as well.
Yeah, and actually having eaten a lot of elephants, that is definitely true, actually. You can't do it all at once.
Do you want to know something interesting about that book? I spoke to Kipchoge last week and he's reading it too, so you're in great company. Whoa. He is. He had it.
Oh, my God.
He was talking. He said, what do I do in a spare time? And he said, oh, I love to read. I said, what are you reading? And he just grabbed it from his little nightstand. And he might take it to Tokyo if he doesn't finish it. So great company.
Wow.
That is spooky. So it's athletes and stragglers alike, like in that book. That's amazing. It was actually recommended to me by one of my hypnotherapy clients. You know, I always say my clients teach me more than I ever teach them. And I've just got so excited. One of the best books I've read. I mean, it's got so much science in it as well. And just little amazing examples that kind of stick in your head. Like, you know, if you're flying a plane, just by changing the direction by 2 degrees, you know, if you're aiming for New York and you just change it by a few degrees, you can end up in South America. So it's just changing your life by small degrees can actually shift you into, you know, different trajectories. And I think the most amazing thing I gained from that book as well was the idea of not having outcome goals, but having kind of process goals and also identity goals. So I remember, you know, over 20 years ago when I became a runner, the thing that helped me to maintain my identity as a runner was being a Runner's World subscriber. So every month that magazine dropped through the floor, on my, you know, doormat, and I'd think, am I run or am I not? And I might not have been running because I might have done a marathon, which is kind of an, you know, an outcome goal, and then not run for 6 months. But that magazine reminded me every time that I was a runner. So it's all about creating an identity as a runner, because if you just have an outcome goal like a marathon, once you've done it, well, what's that? You've done a marathon and then you go and you never run again. So I love this book. It kind of reconfirms a lot of things that I actually know are true myself from my own life.
So are you a practitioner of micro steps then, Lisa? Is this something that are you beginning to apply, or do you think you've ever applied it in the past?
Ben, you know, I think I've done it for a very, very long time. So I think, you know, in the column, I talk about wanting to be a prefect when I was 13, you know, and I literally, you know, I made sure that I went and did all the disgusting tasks no one else wanted to do, you know, the washing up after the social, or the cleaning out the ghost train, you know, the basement of our school stage to create a ghost train. I did every little tiny thing. I mean, even in housecraft, you know, I used to go in my break and set up all my utensils, because that gave you an advantage when you were cooking your scones. So I've actually, because you could get your scones cooked in the hour, you see. So I think I've done it from a very early age. And it's such an amazing way to get, you know, incredible things achieved. Like, during lockdown, I read three books, and I've written books before. I'd written three books before that, and I just knew what a slog every single one of those books was going to be. But I just said to myself, just today, just write that one paragraph about an amazing sunset, or just write that, you know, just small story about my husband losing his wedding ring in a porta toilet. So just write that, in a, you know, like just write that bit. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you look back, and my smoking book was the same. I thought, I'm going to try and write a smoking book in 2 weeks. I've been thinking about it for 11 years, and I just set myself a goal of doing at least 2 hours a day for 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, after 2 weeks, I mean, it's a slim book, but it's got a lot of, you know, good stuff I've thought about for a long time. And it was done. And I looked back and I thought, I can't actually believe I've written a book in 2 weeks. And I actually had. And that is the thing of not saying, oh, I had to write for 8 hours a day, which I had the time to do it because there was nothing else to do in lockdown. But I just set myself a micro goal. And for me, a micro goal was 2 hours, because, you know, I had all the information and I was quite excited about this project, because I'm a former 60 a day smoker myself. So I really want to help people to kick the habit. Micro goals, you know, I've used in every area of my life.
I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but did your husband find his wedding ring?
You've got to buy the book. Ben.
Oh, okay. Oh, Ben, that is so funny. Well, you know, if you knew me, you'd know that I don't take no for an answer. So I basically kicked him back into the hut and told him I had found a way that he could find it, which was lifting up the entire seat. I would dismantle that portaloo if necessary. And I will share this one with you. He did find it, as he said, like a little man in a canoe floating on something.
Oh.
But hadn't done that, I swear to God, he would have had to empty the entire portaloo on the lawn and I would have got that wedding ring back. So I don't take no for an answer. Yeah.
There you go.
That's quality.
And then what do the micro steps look like in terms of running for someone who's hearing about this like for the first time right now? Is it like laying out your kit the night before, or is it more kind of not focusing on the marathon, just focusing on your first mile kind of thing?
Well, it's everything you've said, Jane. I think what they say in the book is just start establishing just an easy habit. As they say, when I talk to my clients in hypnotherapy, we talk about easy and preferred. What are small, easy and preferred changes you want to make? So, you know, they were saying that in this one, it's just lacing up your trainers, like practice every day, lacing up your trainers at a certain time. You can even start as low as micro, as atomic as that. Because, of course, the idea of atomic habits is that the tiniest things in the universe, namely atoms, can create the biggest explosions, namely atomic bombs. So, You can start with just something as simple as that and go for a week. I'm going to lace my trainers. I'm just going to work in trainers. I think that's a quick, simple thing. I know Vassos Alexander has a little tip about having his, I think it's his tights under his trousers so he can run quickly. You know, and for me, it's also is having my trainers on when I work. It's not in this hot weather, but otherwise having them on already, because that's one less thing, and wearing a sports bra, so that's one less thing you have to change into if you want to eliminate all the barriers, you know, ahead of you. But I think with running, I mean, most people who start out, we just have such lofty ambitions straight from the word go. You just think, oh, I've decided to become a runner today, so I'll just go and run for 20 minutes. And that's why I wrote my book, Running Made Easy, because it said that a lot of people are not capable of that. And it actually said run for 60 seconds. And most people can hang on for 60 seconds for dear life. So it is very much about starting small and not giving up too early. You know, it just, that book talks about, you know, perseverance and persistence. And so if you make it easy to achieve like tiny micro goal, then the next day you need to do it, you're going to say, well, it was easy yesterday, it will be easy today. So when I tried to run the Comrades Ultramarathon, which is 56 miles, as the slowest, you know, person in my running club, I really thought it was a goal that I honestly didn't even dare to dream it, but I really, really, really wanted to do it. And I went out for a training run just to test where I was, and I was 33% slower than I needed to be. And I almost immediately gave up. It was a 10K, and I needed to be in sort of 60 minutes per 10K, and I was, you know, an hour and 20 minutes. And I got to the end, I was absolutely gutted, and that was supposed to be day one of my Great Comrades training program. And I said to my husband, I'm never going to do it. I'm never going to make it. And he said to me, Lisi, that's just a baseline. You just need to know where you are. That's just the start. And I just thought, okay, I just got to chip away at that 33%. And, you know, I upped my running so much. I did strength training, stuff I'd never done before. I did speed training for the first time. And it was possible to do that. So it was just, it was having that faith to go, okay, what can you do? Not always think about what you can't do, but what can you do? Well, I can run tomorrow. And that's how I did Comrades. Actually three times, but the third time I didn't finish it. But yeah, it's very applicable to running.
That's really cool. I mean, that's a really great example of how it can work. Do you think that is these kind of lofty goals, people are can be put off by them because they're reluctant to do the micro steps? Because micro steps, I guess one of the things you might count against it is that, well, it sounds like it's going to take a long time.
Yeah, everyone wants instant results. I mean, that's just natural. But I mean, if you want to achieve something amazing, you have to put in the work, you know, and that's, you know, I had to realize that because I was very much, I'm not really into training. I'm very much into medals. So I want a medal every time that I train, really. And I had to realize if I was going to do Comrades, I couldn't just turn up on the day uninjured and really keen and finish it. Like, it just wasn't going to happen. So you have to take a step back and say you need to do the work, and it's going to take time. And just enjoy the process. I mean, the book's full of, you know, having rewards at the end of everything. And I really believe in that. I really believe in, my dad always has a beer every time he runs. Now he just has non-alcoholic beer. But, you know, he used to match every kilometer that he ran with a beer. And he said that's how he's been a lifelong runner since he was a teenager. He ran every single day because he was running for beer. And, it, you know, he's now 82 and he's still running. So that's how you do it. And he always said, always have a shower afterwards. He couldn't believe I would ever, like, just run and go back to my desk. He'd go, that's disgusting. The whole point of running is to have that magnificent shower at the end. So I bought myself a really lovely zingy grapefruit shower gel, and that was my smell of success. So whenever I've done a run, I use that. I'm only allowed to use that shower gel on those days, and that smell just makes me feel like really excited and happy. And I also love lime and soda with ice on days like this. So you've got to make the whole process fun and have milestones along the way. Like, that's why, you know, I did so many marathons when I was training for Comrades, because it was like, I'm not running for 40K and not getting a medal. So I just entered races. And so the races became little mini rewards along the path.
Oh, this is great. This is great to hear, because it means that I've already started doing this, because there is a Magnum in my freezer, which I've already mentioned. And I went running earlier, and I'm still sweating from running earlier, which means that Magnum is going to be magnificent. And there you go. I've already given myself my daily reward for getting it done. So there we go.
Absolutely. You can see it works.
It really does. It really does.
I wish I had a Magnum in the freezer right now.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I know you're a hypnotist as well.
Hypnotherapist.
No,
this is a slight difference.
Paul McKenna is the other one, is it?
Sort of stage hypnotist. Yeah, I don't
You don't do any stage stuff. Okay.
I don't do any stage stuff.
That's good to get that confirmed. but you must see people who are coming to you because they want to overcome maybe kind of mental block or some kind of mental challenge. What do you say that you learn a lot from people who come to see you on that front? I mean, what are some of the lessons that you learned with regards to something like MicroSteps, where it's about kind of perhaps the fear of a big challenge or something that's kind of mentally getting in the way?
Well, I think what's really worked for a lot of my clients, because I've been doing this now for a long time, is the solution-focused approach. So instead of focusing on everything that you haven't done and every time that you failed and the cause of your problems, like why aren't you a runner already? Why do you continue smoking, etc.? You actually just look towards the future in a really hopeful way. And you look for resources from your other areas of your life. So I always do something called a naught to now with my clients, where I ask them to describe their life from birth until the present day, just for 10 minutes, to tell me the major milestones. And you know, when they tell me something positive, we use that and we go, wow, you already gave up smoking, so who's to say you can't run this marathon? Or if they've overcome terrible things, I mean, losing a parent when they were really young or being made redundant, then I go, well, look, you're still here with me today, so you can draw on those strengths as well to help you achieve this goal. And with the way I work, all of my clients commit to 3 action steps every time that they work with me. So they're small, easy, preferred things that they're going to do that are going to make tomorrow better than today. So I really apply that micro steps approach in my work with them. And people love that because they commit with me. I mean, I don't tell them what to do, but we discuss, and I sometimes give them ideas if they're a bit stuck. What 3 things would be really, really beneficial? And they commit to them, and they come back the next week, and they've done them. And that sense of achievement of, yes, I told I was going to do this. And I love it when they just rattle off their action points and go, done, 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 done. And then we set another 3 and we build on that. So what I've learned from them is this approach really works. People like that practical approach. They like the approach of not being bullied into something and choosing and coming up with their own ideas on how to change. So that's the other thing, is look in yourself, like you are actually the expert on your own life. You know what works for you. So it's little things like, I knew when I became a runner, there was no way I was going to come home and change into running clothes and then go out of my house. Like by the time I battled through the London, you know, underground and everything, hot, sweaty and tired, I was exhausted. So what I did was I instead turned my commute into my exercise. I would run from central London to Victoria Station, and then I would run from East Croydon Station to my house. So that way I put together a 30-minute running program with a bit of a sit down in the middle, which suited me fine. And that way I could keep my running up, or I did it at lunchtime. So again, it didn't eat into my life, and I wasn't tired when I started. And you know, I'd love to be the kind of person who springs out of bed and goes for a run in the morning, because Ben's obviously that kind of person. But that just was never going to work. Like in the mornings, I used to feel like I was drowning and kind of clawing back to the light to reach consciousness. So I mean, that is not the kind of mindset you need when you want to go for a run. It just isn't. So it's never going to work. So you have to be realistic on you know, where you are and what suits you, and then you set your own little goals. I mean, another thing I learned from that book is habit stacking. So just taking, you know, something you already do and ticking something else on. So for me, the habit stacking was, I always need to go home. I mean, although I did do huge amounts of overtime, I do need to actually go home. So let's just take that habit of going through the door and say, well, go through the door in your sports clothes and just run to Victoria Station.
I feel like that's especially important for people at the moment, because I imagine a lot of people, I feel the same, where races we signed up to that we're doing now, we signed up to like 2 years ago before all this pandemic. Yes. So it must be, I find it really hard at the moment to get myself into a mindset of, oh, I did want to do this 2 years ago, but I feel like a different person. Do you know what I mean? I'm a different human. Yes. Everything in my life changed.
I'm slower now, which would be the
so
biggest.
It's hard. And I guess it's being realistic and being understanding that this is where I am right now, and I have to build and adapt and make it fit into my life now, even though it wasn't like this a few years ago, when before this pandemic.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, that's where that idea of becoming like having an identity goal rather than an outcome goal is, Jane, like you are a runner. Whether you actually at the moment running three steps or you're running marathons, you are a runner. Your mindset has changed. You're actually talking about races. And I've had many times in my life due to severe injury. I mean, I have had a lot of injuries or just complete laziness or completely having an outcome goal and then think, oh, my marathon's over. I can get my life back and not running for another 6 months after it. So I've had long periods of my life when I haven't been running, but I've still been a runner. Like in my head, that runner's world reminds me every month. So never give up hope. I mean, no matter how long I have breaks from running for, I always know in my heart running's waiting for me. It's like the most faithful friend ever. You know, I always say that for any person, you know, just running will be your salvation. Just go back to it. Like, and go back gently. You know, now I just wrote in that article, you know, I didn't go hard during lockdown. I went hard. And so running is harder. And I just think, you know what? I just want to enjoy it now. I really do want to go out. And because, of course, my thing is track running. So I'm just going to look forward to going to a park run and just plodding around, walking half of it. I don't really care. It's just, what do I love about running? It's meeting new people. So, you know, that's the thing. Just reminding yourself what you loved and why you're doing those races. Like, you know, your reasons might have changed over 2 years, but maybe they're not. Maybe they're the same, but it doesn't have to be that you have to have the same outcome. Like you might just be slower and just go, oh, that's fine. Next time I'll be faster.
I think when you mentioned that, you know, you're very much like a chat run kind of person, and that was kind of like how you approached your running with parkrun and meeting people and that whole social side of it. How did you find lockdown? Because, you know, a lot of people around the country, very similar situation, whereas they use parkrun or their running club or as their social event, as that thing that they connected with other people. How did it affect you? Do you enjoy running on your own?
I absolutely loathe running on my own. I mean, when my husband says running's boring, 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 like I kind of agree as long as you write on the end if you do it on your own. Because if you do it with someone else, it's the nicest thing ever. Yeah, I did find it really hard. I mean, in the beginning, you know, that little hour of exercise we were allowed or the one outing, whatever, I was out that door like you won't believe. Like it was so funny. I was laughing at myself going, you know, just the minute someone takes something away from you, you want it back. And then over time, I just found, that idea of not being able to do it with other people, I just missed it so, so, so much because, you know, I mean, a lot of the people that I've run with have become friends, or I just love just seeing the people that I know and just saying hi. It doesn't have to be a long conversation. I found lockdown very hard and my motivation just really, really plummeted. So that's why I've, you know, signed up for these virtual challenges because I just had to find a way to get back into it. And then the problem is that, you know, if you come back after, you know, a long layoff or just not really doing very much of it, when you do run with people, like if they haven't done the same thing, if they have kept up their blooming going hard thing, you know, you're too slow to run with them. Or my poor friend Belinda, I just have to say, you know, now she writes that, would you like to come for a run? And then she always writes in brackets, like walk with me, which is fine because I love walk running. That's my thing. But, you know, she's so much faster than me because she didn't do what I did. And she doesn't live for chat running like I do. So, yeah, it does affect you if everyone else is faster than you or the people you know are faster.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people that maybe we've talked about how much everyone embraced running in lockdown and that people got more time running than ever before. So maybe they've got faster and better and all that sort of stuff. But there is absolutely that side of it, which is that actually a lot of people who probably ran way more before lockdown came and because it just wasn't any fun for them anymore.
I mean, there are podcasts, obviously, and there are, you know, audiobooks and things like that. But as you know from the little technical difficulties we had today with this podcast before we started, I always forget to charge my blooming phone. Or I've got these headphones that are noise cancelling because I nearly got run over by a tram once. So I really decided that I was not going to run in any other headphones other than noise cancelling. But the damn things have to be charged. Then I forget to charge the headphones. So, you know, it just becomes another drama. And that's why I'm a very, like, I don't even often run with a watch, you know. So I'm kind of person, I don't like any faff around my running. And that was another hurdle was, yeah, I can listen to a podcast, whatever, but I've forgotten to charge my phone. So, yeah, I mean, that's, again, it could have been a really good habit I could have got into if I'd read this book earlier of step one, charge your phone. Step two, charge your headphones. You know, there's little habits that you could break. There's anything can be overcome and you've got to put your mind to it. Yeah.
Lisa, thanks so much for making the time to speak with us on the Runners World podcast. Great to talk to you about the micro steps that people can take and how it can lead to places you wouldn't even imagine. So thanks very much for your time.
No, it's great. It's really been great. Thanks so much, Ben, Rick and Jane. That's been lovely chatting to you and having some contact with people.
This is the Runners World podcast.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. A big thanks to our guest, Lisa Jackson, and to you, of course, for listening.
After a very brief hiatus, which isn't true because I say this every week, but you can once again subscribe to 3 issues of Runner's World for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer.
You can also listen to the Runner's World UK podcast on Acast, iTunes and all your favourite podcast apps absolutely for free. Just search Runner's World UK and please click subscribe. Thanks for listening and we'll see you again next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.